Thank you, Marcia. God is good, isn't he? God is so good. And this morning, I just want to say thank you for all of your prayers, for all of your support. As you can see, there's a gentleman sitting next to me that hasn't been here for a few weeks, and I know he has been very appreciative of all of the love that you have shown to us, that you have shown to him as he's recovered from his surgery and from his injury, and we say thank you. Before we turn to the Word, let's ask the Lord to direct our thoughts this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for your love for us. Thank you for your ministry in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, you know those of us who are here this morning and those who may be listening online, you know what each of us needs. Just come and minister here to our hearts and speak to our hearts today. And we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. A couple of questions. Do you desire a closer, more intimate walk with the Lord? Do you desire a closer, more intimate relationship with him? Greater fruitfulness in your service and ministry. Greater effectiveness in your prayer life. And this portion of scripture that Marcia has read and that we're going to be looking at this morning, it points us towards what will help us to grow in our walk with the Lord. And a lot of it comes as we keep our focus in the right place. I brought something with me this morning. It's almost long enough. Does anybody besides Brandon know what this is? He knows because he found it for me. Jim, I think you know. It's a grapevine. It's a grapevine. What is the purpose of a grapevine? To bear fruit, especially grapes. How much fruit do you think this grapevine is going to produce this year? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why? It's lost its connection with the vine. A grapevine, in order to bear fruit, has to stay connected. The branches have to stay connected to the vine. That's the only way it's going to bear fruit. As we think about our own lives, the only way we as Christians are going to bear fruit is if we stay connected to the one true vine. In this portion of scripture that we have before us, we have a picture of the vine, the branches, and the gardener. And this was a familiar picture to Jesus' listeners for a couple of reasons. As we look back at the Old Testament, Israel had often been referred to as the vine of the Lord. Interesting thought. It was also familiar to the listeners because Israel was an agrarian and agricultural society. Grapevines and grapes were a common sight in Israel. And I still think of the spies who went in and they carried out a cluster of grapes so big that it took two of them to carry that out. This was a known picture to them. Jesus did as he often did in his teaching. He took what was familiar to them and applied it in a spiritual sense. He would often say, for the kingdom of heaven is like, but here he is saying, I am the vine. I am the true vine. My Father is a gardener. You are the branches. In this passage of scripture from John, Jesus began with this teaching with the words, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. In a very real sense, Jesus was teaching that he was fulfilling the role that God had actually intended for Israel, but he was fulfilling a very special role being the true vine. He was the true vine and would ultimately and perfectly fulfill God's plans, especially his plan of redemption. His followers, the branches, would be part of that plan and would help fulfill God's ultimate plan. That would only take place as they took their place in the vine, as branches do with a vine. And God would work through both. It was only in connection with Jesus that they would fulfill God's plan for them and bear fruit for the kingdom and see their prayers answered. But we also have here another picture. We have God, the master gardener. Don't look at me. I do not have a green thumb. My grandmother was an excellent gardener. In fact, we figured that she was probably going to die out in her garden. She just loved her flowers. She loved being in the garden. My father was a gardener. He had a green thumb, and I'll tell you, that must be where my son gets it from. He doesn't get it from me. But what is the purpose of the gardener? To take care of the garden. In this case, to take care of the vine, to take care of the branches. And what is the goal of the gardener? Not just to make everything look pretty, but the goal is fruit, isn't it? The goal is fruit. Now, my father, and I wish I had a picture. I wish I had a picture of his grapevine. He had a grapevine that looked absolutely amazing. The foliage was absolutely amazing, green, lush, vibrant. But when we went to look under the branches and look for fruit, there was nothing. Why? Why? Because in trying to make everything look nice, he failed to realize that the production of fruit would come only as he pruned, only as he cut away the dead branches, but also as he pruned back some of the foliage. And so the grapevine that was supposed to produce lots of fruit did not produce fruit. Wow. Let's move on and think about what this means for us as Christians. In verse 4, Jesus said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself and must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." What a picture we have here. What a picture we have here. Jesus has already said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." But the challenge here to his disciples, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remain in me." A branch cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. It's from that connection to the vine that it receives everything it needs for life, for growth, for fruitfulness. If a branch of a vine is to fulfill its purpose, it needs to stay connected to the vine. Unlike the branch I have here before us, that lost the connection to the vine, it's never going to produce anything again. In fact, Jesus said it's worth nothing except to be thrown into the fire and burned. And you know what? We like to burn things in our wood stove. It provides heat, but it's never going to produce fruit. Okay? Does that make sense? If a branch is to fulfill its purpose, it needs to stay connected to the vine. Let's take this a step further. If a believer is to fulfill his purpose, he or she needs to stay connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. We need to stay connected to that vine. Abide, we need to abide or remain in him. The challenge here is to remain in a close connection, a close relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a continuing relationship. It's not on and off. It's not when we feel like it. And you know what? There are days, it's great to be a Christian. There are days where it's a struggle. But the challenge here is to remain, to continue in that relationship, regardless of what is happening in our lives. There's also that aspect of keeping our focus. Where should our focus be? It needs to be on Jesus, doesn't it? Not on myself. I'm going to be honest with you. I look on Facebook and I read posts sometimes. We are living in a very self-centered society. If we are going to be where God wants us to be, if we are going to produce fruit like he wants us to produce, we need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Not on myself. Not on others. You know, it's easy to get so caught up in what's happening around us that our focus turns to others instead of Jesus Christ. And you know, we need to have a heart and a burden for others. But when that takes our soul thought life, our soul heart life, it's not where it ought to be, is it? And I have had to struggle with that, and I have struggled with that sometimes. My focus needs to be Him, not me, not you, not on others. But it also does not need to be on the fruit. My job is not to worry about the fruit that's being produced in my life. My job is to focus on Him. My job is not to be focused on Christian service either. As a pastor for many, many years, I've spent a lot of time doing different things, but my sole focus needs to be on Jesus. May God help us. And it says if we remain in Him and He in us, we will bear much fruit. Only as a branch is attached to the vine and receives nourishment and life from that vine can it produce fruit. It doesn't focus on the fruit. It just seeks to receive the nourishment it needs to live and to grow. It's as it stays connected to that vine that it fulfills its true purpose and can bear fruit. And it's only as we remain in Christ and focus on Him and build our relationship with Him that we can bear fruit. May God help us. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. Our goal needs to strive to be closer to Him, to walk closer to Him, to live for Him. May God help us. How can we do that? Verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. The believer not only keeps his focus on Jesus, not only delights in his Savior, but the believer, the Christian, needs to be a person of God's word. We need to read, we need to study, we need to meditate on God's word. We need to delight in God's word. If we are to remain in Him, we also need to let His word remain in us. The believer needs to long for, desire, and thirst to spend time in God's word. He wants to know what God's word says and says to him. We need to be people of the word. Not only is there the longing for God's word to read it or to hear it, but also the desire to obey it. And over in James talks about don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. We can't just hear it. We have to live it. And there's a lot of people who spend time reading the Bible and read it and memorize it, but fail to put it into practice. It's here in their heads, but it's not in their hearts, and it's not been lived out in everyday life. What we need to focus on is our relationship with the Lord. But as we spend time in the Word, we need to let His Word mold and shape our thoughts, our thinking, our hearts, and our way of life. May God help us. And this isn't going to happen overnight, is it? I'm going to be honest with you. This is not going to happen overnight. It's a lifelong process. When my mother passed away, I don't know, she had read through the Bible every year for I don't know how many years. She grew up in a different denomination, in a different church, and when she was introduced to the Wesleyan Church, she developed a hunger for the Word. She couldn't get enough of it. In fact, her mother, when she was finally given a New Testament, the Good News for Modern Man, she was so hungry. She read and read and read and read and read and read. But it's not just about reading. It's letting that come into our hearts and changing us, shaping us, helping us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And what does it say here? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. How many of us want to see our prayers heard and answered? I think we all want to see our prayers heard and answered. But there's two keys here. The first is remaining in a close relationship with Him. The second one is being a person of His Word and letting His Word mold us and shape us. But the promise here, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you'll be able to ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. That doesn't mean you go and ask for a Lamborghini or a Rolls Royce or something. But our focus becomes in the right place, doesn't it? Our focus is in the right place. Our desire is on not just what we want, but what will honor and glorify Him. But there's another aspect, and that's verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Do you see the connection here? Do you see the connection? As the Father has loved me, this is Jesus talking. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Does it stop there? It doesn't stop there, does it? Now Jesus says, now remain in my love. And then eventually as we move on, the challenge there to go and love others. The Father loved Jesus. Jesus loved us. We are to remain and to continue in that precious love relationship. In our Bible study on Tuesday, we got talking about relationships with our earthly fathers. And it's amazing, those who have had earthly fathers that did not treat them well. And unfortunately, that gives us a bad impression and a bad picture of our Heavenly Father, doesn't it? When a person has been abused by their earthly father, it's hard to think of a Heavenly Father who loves and cares for them. But this is what Jesus wants us to see. He wants us to see the Heavenly Father loved Him, but the Heavenly Father also loves each one of us, and He loves us as well. And we are challenged here to remain in His love. How? Staying in that close relationship, but also by obeying His commands. What is His command? I like this. He made it real simple for us. He gave us one command. My command is this. This is verse 12. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Simple, isn't it? But you know what? There are times it's not so simple. There are some people that are easy to love. There are some people that are really, really easy to love. We enjoy spending time with them. We enjoy doing things with them. But then there are the others. We don't care whether we spend time with them or not. But does Jesus differentiate here? He says, no, be a person of love. Let God's love live in you and flow through you. Over in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. Because we love God, we will want to love His children. And you know what? With God's help, that is possible. You and I may not be able to do it in our own ability, but with Christ living in us, with the Holy Spirit living in us, knowing we are loved by our Heavenly Father enables us to love others. Because we love God, it will be a joy and a delight, not a burden, for us to carry out this command, His command to love others. There will be joy and blessing when we are in a right relationship with God and with one another. The greatest picture of love, Jesus says here, is to lay one down one's life for his friends. And isn't that what Jesus did for us? He showed his love. And I still go back to that upper room when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Did he just wash the feet of his beloved disciple who followed him obediently? No, he went around the table and he washed the feet of all of his disciples, including Judas Iscariot, including Peter. May God help us. May God help us to follow the example that he set. Over in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we find these words of Jesus. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The world is watching us, isn't it? The world is watching us. The world is watching our lives. It's watching how we react. It's watching how we respond. It's watching how we treat others. The world is watching. What do they see? Do they see Christ in us and through us? May God help us. May God help us. The command had been to love God with their whole being, but Jesus changed that. Love one another as I have loved you. He didn't change it. He added to it the aspect of loving one another. And he goes on to say, you are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, but friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And then 1 Corinthians 14:1 says very simply, follow the way of love. Follow the way of love. Wow. There's one more aspect here, and I'm just going to, and they don't have it in the notes back there, I'm just going to touch on it very briefly, and we're coming back to this next week. I will be sharing here again next week. But we need to abide in his purpose. And that purpose is very simply this. We have been chosen. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. We have been given a purpose, and that purpose is to be fruit bearers. We are to maintain that close relationship with the Lord. We are to remain in him and close relationship with him. We need to remain in his word. We need to remain in his love. And if we do that, then we will be in a position where we can be fruit bearers for his honor, for his glory. That's powerful. Next week, we're going to look at that aspect of being chosen to go and bear fruit. But the challenge here today is focusing on relationship, isn't it? To make sure our hearts are right with the Lord. To make sure we're following his teachings. Oh, there's so many erratic teachings out there, but to make sure we're following the teachings of his word. To make sure we are focusing on maintaining that love relationship with him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back to the platform. What a challenge we have here before us. If we want a closer walk with the Lord, if we want a more intimate relationship with him, if we want greater fruitfulness in our service and ministry, if we want greater effectiveness in our prayer lives, then the solution is simple. Keep our focus. Keep our focus on him. Keep our focus on him. There's so many things that would distract us. There are a lot of things that would distract us. But our job, our sole job, is to remain in that close relationship with him and let him do the rest. In him, there is everything we need for life, for growth, for effectiveness in ministry, for effectiveness in prayer. But we need to keep our focus. We need to abide, don't we? We need to continue in him. May God help us. Let's not be like this piece of the grapevine. That piece of the grapevine is never going to accomplish what it set out for, what it was designed for. It will never bear fruit. But you and I have that privilege, don't we? But we have to stay close to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for what you teach us. You know us this morning and you know our hearts. You know exactly what we need. You know exactly what we need. Just come and minister here. If some of us have not been as close to you as we should have been, Lord, that in these closing moments that you would just come and speak to our hearts and help us to do what we need to do. Help us to do what we need to do to stay close to you. And to be in a place where you can work in us and through us. Be with us, we pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The worship team is going to play the prayer song again. They're just going to play quietly. But if there are those who would like me to pray with them, I'll be right down front, and we can do that. I will gladly pray with you.